pray for God to speak to us. Okay? And I feel that God has a message for you, guys, for each one of us. So let's pray for God to speak to us this afternoon. And a number one criteria is that we need to believe that God can speak to me. We need to believe that. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." We need to believe Christ when he says, we, his sheep, can hear his voice for ourselves. Heavenly Father, this afternoon we come before you ever so grateful that we are your children. We are your people. We are your sheep. We are those whom you have called out of this world to be your people. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we are in this place this afternoon. And Lord, we want to pray that this afternoon, as we come before your word, that you would speak to each one of us individually. Lord, that by your Spirit, that your word, your truth that you want to get to us would get to each one of us without fail. Father, we ask you this and commit the rest of the time into your hands, Lord, that you would just speak to each person's heart to make a difference in our lives, to take steps in our lives, to be where you want us and where you are calling us to be. Lord, we ask for your presence, for your power, for your Spirit to just speak to hearts as we share your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anybody who agrees with my prayer, say amen. Okay, great. Last week I spoke about David and how David and, had come to, just to briefly give you a background, had been sent by his father. His father, David, has had seven brothers. And three of his brothers had gone to war with the Philistines. And his dad now sent him saying, go and see how your brothers are doing. And David's job is looking after sheep. Okay? Nothing unusual, just mundane, looking after sheep. And David is being sent, and he goes to the front line. He goes to the place where the war is happening. And he finds something very, very unusual. He finds that there are two armies facing off each other, and then he finds that the Philistines are actually standing via Goliath and making threats and daring the Israelites to come out and fight Goliath. And he steps into this place, and we take up the story in Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, okay? So please turn with me to chapter 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And I'm going to read from verse 40 to 54. And this is the crunch time. This is the time when David actually steps into the battle zone and faces Goliath himself. Until that time, it's the run-up to the meeting. It's the run-up to the actual battle between the two of them. So just turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm sure everybody has got a Bible in their phone, if not anywhere else. So turn with me, chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. And I'm reading from verse 40 to 45. So verse 40 to 54. Instead, he, that is David, he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pouch in his shepherd's bag. Then, with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Just a moment here. Saul had tried to give him his armor. And he tried to put Saul's armor on, and he couldn't even walk in it. He couldn't even move in it. So he said, he took them off, and he said, instead he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pouch in his shepherd's bag. Then with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Now keep in mind, guys, that for 40 days there was this standoff. 40 days Goliath was standing up and he was shouting and he was daring the Israelites to come and actually challenge him. And what happened is that for 40 days, not a single person was found to come out and actually fight Goliath. And after 40 days, David comes. David did not come to this place to fight Goliath. He had no plans for that. He had no intention of fighting Goliath. He came because he was sent by his father. And sometimes, guys, we find that we step into our destinies without us even planning for it. So sometimes, guys, we stepped into our destinies without intending, without planning it. And David stepped into his destiny here without knowing that he was sent by his father for something else, guys. For something else. He was sent by his father to bring him news of his sons who were at the battlefront. And yet David now is the one person that was fine, that was discovered to face this Philistine. And this is what happens when David is facing this Philistine. David runs out and the Bible says in verse 40, then with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. David is approaching the first man in 40 days to dare and approach to fight this Philistine. The entire army, as I was telling you last week, was terrorized and scared stiff. And this is what happens, verse 41. The Philistine came closer and closer to David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him because he was just a youth, healthy and handsome. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks?" Then he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," the Philistine called to David, "and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts." Now imagine that. So far, Goliath's threats had been directed to the entire Israel army. But now that one person has been found that has actually decided to actually go ahead and face this enemy, go ahead and face this guy who came out to defy the armies of Israel and the God of Israel. When this one person, David is found, what happens is David is approaching the Philistine, and now what happens is it gets heated up. You know? The threat becomes direct and personal. And when you approach your destiny, guys, when you approach your destiny, the enemy's threats, his shouts, don't get less. They get more. Because his plan is to discourage you. His plan is to make you lose courage. The enemy's plan is always to make us frightened. But David, we see, did not flinch. He did not want out. His courage did not fail him, neither did he retreat. But this time, the Philistine was directing his threats at him, directly, personally. It wasn't general anymore. It was direct. It was personal now. And yet we see David standing his ground. David not retreating. We're going to see how and why David did not retreat, because it is pretty frightening and scary, guys, when a person who is about 9 feet tall screams and shouts at you. And not only is he 9 feet tall, he has got a javelin, he's got a spear, he's got a sword, he's got an armor bearer, and you are totally exposed and vulnerable. You don't have anything to show. Do you agree with me? Is it scary or it's not? It is very, very scary. When we read about it, it's like a story that didn't happen. But this incident is a real story. And what happens is that David did not flinch because what the Philistine saw was David's stick. What the Philistine didn't see was David's major weapon. David's weapon was not his stick, nor the sling, nor the stones that he picked up from the stream. David had a secret weapon that this Philistine had no idea of. And this is what David says, guys. After the Philistine curses him and says to him, I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts. Imagine. I mean, even if a guy, a roadman, okay? A roadman who's really well built. If he says that to you, you'll be scared, stiff. Am I right? I was going to mention some parts of London, a roadman from a particular part of London, but it's not good to mention that. I come from that part of London, so don't worry. I'm not kind of cursing anyone's neighborhood. But yeah, let alone, you know, a person who really is intent and determined to tear you apart. And he told him, I'll feed the birds of the air and the wild beasts with your flesh. He really meant it, guys. He wasn't joking. He wasn't playing around. He wanted to show the whole Israelite army what he was made of. He wanted to tear David apart and make sure that David's flesh was fed to the birds of the air and the beasts and the wild animals. He really meant it. That's the kind of threat that David was operating under at that time. There was this guy who was ready to tear him apart. Some of us will flee for our lives at that point. And as I said, David did not flinch. He did not want out. He did not lose courage. He did not in any way retreat. Verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a dagger, spear, and sword, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, or in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel's armies, you have defied. And what I love about David is that, you know, the rhetoric, the threat that the Philistine was throwing at him, David did not back out. He actually ramped it up. He said, do you want some? I'll give you some. And this is what David went and said. You come against me with a dagger, spear. And he said to him, today, he said in verse 46, the Lord will hand you over to me. Today, I'll strike you down, cut your head off, and give the corpse of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the creatures of the earth. David now went further than that. He said, it's not only your head I'm going to chop off, he said. I'm going to make sure that the bodies, the dead bodies of the entire Philistine camp will be fed to the birds of the air and the animals of the wild animals. There was no fear here. David was fearless. You know, Philistine said, I will feed your flesh, he told him. David said, I will feed the flesh of the entire Philistine camp. I love that. You're feeding my flesh to the animals, I'll feed the flesh of your entire army to the animals. That's what I'm going to come back to you with. He didn't back out. And he said, I love it when he said, I'll strike you down, cut your head off, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the creatures of the earth. In the face of the enemy, David stood strong, but not only did he stand strong, he actually multiplied the enemy's threats and gave it back to him. And the thing is here is that David's threats and words were not brash, neither were they empty. Sometimes we tend to be like that. We can be brash, we can be empty with our words, but David was not. Because David had a weapon that he knew, he experienced. He had lived through this. And he was not making it up. He wasn't making it up. He had lived through this. He had experienced this. This was something that David was speaking of from experience, and that personal experience. because he had fed the corpses of animals, lions and bears, to the wild animals. That's why David's words were not empty, they were not brash. David had personal experience of God. And he said, you come against me, in verse 45, with a dagger, spear, and sword, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel's armies. That was his weapon. He did not say, I come against you with a sling. I come against you with 5 pieces of stones. I come against you with my shepherd's rod. No. He had them with him. Did he? He did. He had all these things with him. That's why the Philistine cursed him and said, you come to me as if I'm a dog with a stick. He had all these things with him. And yet, David's trust, David's reliance, David's confidence was not in what he had, guys. He used what he had to actually slay him down eventually. Everybody knows the end of the story. But he never for a moment relied on that stone that hit Goliath and slayed him. Never. He said, I come to you as you come to me with its sword and javelin and spear. I come to you not with sticks, not with stones, not with a sling. I come to you in the name of Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, in the name of the God of Israel that you have defied. His trust was firmly established in God alone. That was why he could speak the way he spoke. That was why he could answer this Philistine back. That was why he stood his ground and would not flinch, because his trust was in God. Nothing else. Nothing else. He had seen God rescue him from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, as they came to take sheep away from him. He fought back. He rescued the sheep. And even when they came back to actually attack him, he would actually hold them and kill them. He saw God working in his life privately. That was why he could stand on the big stage and actually challenge the enemy on there. And it's the same with us, as I was saying last week, guys. It's where, when we experience God in our lives personally, that we are able to actually stand up to the enemy on the public stage, on the big stage. And one of the amazing things about David is that he did not learn and have this knowledge of God in the church, in the synagogue, in the temple. It was in real life, in his daily activities, that he experienced God, that he saw God, that he had an experience of God. And very often, all of us here are guilty of limiting our experiences of God to church, to Sunday mornings, to Friday youth cells. We are guilty of restricting God and putting God in a box, and that box is called church. David did not experience God in the church. And if you want a real experience of God, you experience him in your life out there, where you walk, where you stay, where you live. That is where you need to experience God for yourself. That is where God wants you to experience him. Here you learn about him. Here you learn from his word. But you go and validate his word in your life. You need to corroborate what God says in his word in your personal life by involving him in your life. That's what David did. David involved God in his daily work of looking after the sheep. Don't exclude God. Don't restrict God. Don't put God in a box and think God is only for church. God is for your education. God is for your work. God is for your relationships. God is for everywhere in your life. And I tell you, nobody experienced God like David did during that time. And all he did was he involved God in his life. He involved God when he was out there on his own, looking after the sheep. He involved God. He got God on board in everything that he did. in his challenges that he faced, he involved God. That's why he said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. Because he involved God in his life. Many of us don't do that. Many of us want to kind of exclude him from our lives, except when it comes to church. Restrict him to this building or to this place that's called church. Which is not even a church, it's a building. We lose out, guys. We lose out. There's an old song. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. It's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And in that song, there's one of the verses which says that, you know, how much we forfeit because we don't involve God in our lives. We don't take things to him in prayer. How much we lose out. We lose out, guys. The choice is ours. We can be like one of the thousands of Israelites in that camp, or we can be like David. It's in our hands. In our hands. It's not destiny, guys. It's decision. It's decision. Involve God in your life. That's what David did. And David knew. He knew and he knew and he knew and he knew and he knew deep inside him that God would not abandon him. That God would not leave him there to that Philistine. He knew it because God never left him when he was on his own and with the sheep, with the animals, with the lions and the bears. God never left him. But you need to experience that to be able to stand up to this Philistine and say, you know, I will feed the corpses of the entire Philistine camp to the birds of the air and the wild animals. You need to have a knowing that is consolidated by experience, not a knowing that is just in our heads. And that knowing that consolidates, that is consolidated in experience, is in your hands. It's you who can make it happen. Nobody else can. Even God can't. You need to make it happen. Get God on board in all that you're doing. Coming season, next few months, exam time. If I were you, I'd just get God on board. Seeking jobs, get God on board. Relationships, get God on board. See him work there. And then you get that knowledge that David had. See him work in your own life and experience him for who he is. And then you can stand up and be a witness. Because ultimately, that was what David was. I'm going to finish by reading verse 46 onwards. David said, for today, he said, the Lord will hand you over to me. Today I'll strike you down, cut your head off, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the creatures of the earth. Listen to this. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. Here's his testimony. And this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us. And what I love about it is, once God was involved in this battle, David knew who the battle belonged to. He knew that. He knew who the battle belonged to. And he said, this is why. He said, then all the world will know that Israel has a God. We can only stand as witness, guys, of what we have seen, of what we have experienced. And very often, we are reticent and hold back from witnessing because our experience is very, very minimal. And our experience is minimal, I'll tell you, for one reason. We don't involve God. We don't acknowledge God in all our ways. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, acknowledge him in all your ways. This is what Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. David did not hold back. And in Psalm 37:5 it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. I want to encourage you guys. I want to encourage you to make sure that you commit your way to the Lord. Commit your anything that you engage in, anything that you are, you know, challenged by, anything that you are doing in your life. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Involve God in your life, guys. Don't leave him for Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons in this case and for this building. Don't restrict him. Don't put him in a box. Don't limit him. By not involving him in your life. By just making God a kind of shrine that you come to once a week or twice a week. Don't restrict him. David never restricted God. God was unrestricted in David's life. In everything that he did, God was there. No wonder in Psalm 18 verse 1, you know what David says? He says, I love you, Lord, my strength, he says. He experienced God as his strength. He experienced God as his strength, literal strength. He'd go out and fight the lions and the bears, and there was God. God was his strength. And he said in Psalm 91, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Fortress, fortress. God can become a fortress for you and in your life. God can and is happy and willing and ready to become your strength like became David's strength. But you need to involve him in your life. You need to acknowledge him in all your ways. You need to put him right in the middle of your life, in your daily life. Wherever you're walking, wherever you're going, wherever you're living, whatever you're doing, get God on board. He's aching and he's waiting to involve in your life and to show himself strong to you. And that's the verse I'm going to end with. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. And as soon as I finish, we're going to say a quick prayer and then all of us to shoot out from here before the next church comes upon us. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Just want you to see how not involving God is actually to our loss. It's our disadvantage. I'm going to read from verse 7, okay? And this is Hanani is a prophet, okay? At that time, okay, everybody with me, I'm just concluding now. At that time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa of Judah and said to him, because you depended on the king of Aram and have not depended on the Lord your God. See that? Because you depended on the king of Aram and have not depended on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a vast army with many chariots and horsemen? When you depended on the Lord, he handed them over to you. Verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are his. You have been foolish in this matter. Therefore, you will have wars from now on. God says that when we don't depend on him, we are foolish. And I think there's no greater fool than one who does not trust and put his faith in God. God wants us to do that, guys, in everything that we do, in all the things that we come across. Involve God. Where you experience God is in your daily life. That experience is going to be yours and nobody's going to take it away from you. Nobody can deny that fact because you have experienced it in your own environment, in your own ambience. That's why David was so strong in his faith, stood courageous, because he knew and he had experienced God rescuing him from lions and bears. He knew that he knew that he knew that God is not going to actually hand him over to the hand of the Philistine. The rest is history, as they say. Did David chop off the Philistine's head? Yes, he did. Did he feed the corpses of the entire Philistine camp to the birds of the air and the wild animals? Undoubtedly. Go read the story. But it all happened because this young boy, who was a teenager, who fought lions and bears in his daily life, chose to involve God, chose to acknowledge God, chose to have God on board and on his side for everything that he did. You go and do likewise, friends. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the life and example and lesson of David. Lord, this afternoon, I pray that every single one of us would just go on with our lives, involving you, acknowledging you, and just getting you on board in everything that we do. Lord, help each one of us. Help us, Lord, to do that in our lives. Help us to commit our way to you. Hallelujah. Father God, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer was short because it's your decision. It's your call. You make the next move, guys. God bless you.